D-Mace Fingen and Donick 1025, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen, and David Janes here with you. T-minus 2 hours and 20 minutes till the start of the NFL season. Cowboys at Eagles on Thursday Night Football. We will make our NFL season predictions at the end of the show, because that's what every sports talk radio show is doing across the country on the day of the NFL season. So we will get in on the fun as well. We will also continue to take your reaction to our question from the top of the show. What would you consider a successful NFL debut for Cam Ward? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got some reaction from earlier to get to. We will take some of your reaction as well. It can be tangible, intangible, whatever you feel would be a successful NFL debut for Cam Ward, you let us know. But gentlemen, Nick Suss of the Tennessean wrote an interesting story the other day with the headline, "What are the Titans building? A step-by-step guide on the kind of players and the identity that leadership wants." And Nick Suss spoke to both Dave Ziegler, Titans assistant general manager, and of course, the supreme ruler of football himself, Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker. And I thought it would be interesting to go through these lists to see how achievable these benchmarks are for the Tennessee Titans. So let's start with Ziegler's. So the Tennessean asked Ziegler what an ideal roster building process would look like, going position by position, both in terms of what needs to be added first and what kind of players need to be added in those spots. This is the order of operations he outlined. Number one, build the offensive line. Put a premium on players who can protect the quarterback, but make sure the five-man unit can play cohesively enough to keep the run game alive. So that was number one from Ziegler. Number two, build a defensive front. Successfully acquire enough talent so that the team can have pass rush success independent of scheme. Number three, find one-on-one winners in the secondary. Evoking the legacy of the Denver Broncos defenses in 2015 and 2016, find players who have the ability to win matchups against top receivers and press man coverage. Number four, make sure your quarterback is the, quote, head of the snake. The game is going to run through the quarterback. Find one who can process, adjust, and embody your identity. Number five, be explosive without having to be vertical. Deep shots are good, but surround your quarterback with the kind of skilled players who can turn mundane-looking plays into gains of 40-plus yards. And number six, fill out the middle of the defense. Develop around a signal caller who can lead at middle linebacker and use your safeties interchangeably rather than relying on separate free safety slash strong safety archetypes. So those are, according to Dave Ziegler, Titans assistant GM, the ideal roster building process. So of those six, how many can we cross off? How many are you confident in the Titans are addressing, and how many still need to be answered?
Okay. Building on line. I think they've done that, but only time will tell. So you check that off. Defensive front. I think this year's defensive front has the ability to be better than last year's for this reason. And take it for what you're worth. Take it for what it's worth. Jeffrey Simmons is in a contract year. He came back ready to play football at a very high level. That's the way it seems. As soon as T. Sweat gets his condition back to where it needs to be, and the guys that they've added, I think that part, you can check that off. One-on-one winners, it was interesting what Cam Ward said about Isle Manor. Is that he can beat you in the press. He's physical one-on-one. That, and he's a hell of a route runner. That's, I'm going to be looking his way. He's a guy that they feel can beat you one-on-one. I think Ridley is, he has trouble with press coverage. I think that's sort of his kryptonite. Everything else, hell of a route runner, catch the ball, everything else, that's why you put him on the move. So can't nobody get their hands on him. So they crossed that out, I believe, the one-on-one player. Now he's going to have to show it when he gets in the game. He's got to show it first game of the season against a team that is going to throw a lot at him as a young receiver. So let's just put question mark for that one, a question mark. Quarterback, I think they believe they have it, but I'm going to put a question mark, okay? The one that I don't think they have yet is five, the explosiveness. A guy that can take a five-yard hitch and take it 85 yards. They thought Tajay Spears, but he's always hurt. Can't seem to find him. He's missed more games lately than not. That was the guy in their mind, at least from the running back position, that can take a five-yard, you know, angle route or out route and take it up the field and get a lot of yardage. Outside of that, I'm not sure right now. Calvin Ridley is explosive, but he's more explosive down the field than he is catching a five-yard slant and taking it to the house. They're hoping possibly Helm can be that, Gunnar Helm, and Chigakonkwo. They're hoping he can be that as well. But to me, that's a question mark because right now, as we sit, you don't have a person that can take a five-yard hitch or a five-yard slant or a five-yard angle and out and take it 85 or 75 or 65. You don't have that guy that is proven yet. And then the line, I like what they're doing with the linebacker position, bringing in Cody Barton. Cedric Gray seems like he's going to be a player. He looked awesome in preseason. He looks faster. He looks like he's a guy that will benefit from having those big bodies in front of him. Why? Because he can hit those gaps very fast. So to me, out of the six, there's three check marks, and really the rest are question marks.
I like the list, number one. I think it's a really good checklist. But remember the backdrop of what is this Ziegler's first year?
Did with he come the Titans,
in?
Yes.
He came in with the Titans in this group with Borgonzi, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So,
remember, and Reggie McKenzie.
I will mm-hmm. always make this point when you're trying to evaluate the first-year guys mm-hmm. and also Brian Callahan, the second-year guys, right? They inherited a roster that had four years of drafts where your three best players are Peter Skoronski, Chigakonkwo, and Roger McCreary. Those are your three best players. That's a tough set to work. You are not going to be able to answer all these questions with we're set. It's impossible. It's impossible. So I just like how they've laid out what the vision is. It's going to take time for them to get what they're looking for in these six things. You hope that they're on their way on the offensive line because they have been working on that the last couple of years. They have been putting some time and investment into that. So I hope they have that. You're hoping that from a makeup standpoint that Ward is what they hope he will be. And I do like how he composes himself at the podium. I do think he's a leader. He appears to be the guy that has the ability to be leader. I like how he answers the questions. I like that there's no BS. He looks like he's all about business and winning. I like that. So I think the head of the snake, I think he potentially could be. But we won't know until he goes out there. The other ones they don't have. They don't have any of the other ones right now. It's a no. You're hoping that you get closer mm-hmm. and you find some things out about the team this year, but they're just not going to have that right now.
Well, when I speak of the offensive line and defensive line, I think what they wanted to do in free agency, they were able to do. But again, we won't know until they really get in the season. But they wanted to address the offensive line with some good players, and I feel they have. They wanted to address the defensive line with some depth and some good players. I think they have.
Marginally better. With what they had to work with, exactly. I think they've done what they were trying to do.
Now, the 101, that's a question mark to me because you don't know if you had that guy. You won't know until you actually get out there in games. They believe they had that guy. That's why Io Manor is starting because he's a more physical presence than Van Jefferson. They believe that physical presence can beat a one-on-one coverage, especially when you're playing against a team like Denver that probably uses that single coverage a lot more than some other teams. So he may fit perfect with what they want to do. Again, like you said, the quarterback position, we're going to find out. It looks good. It looks good right now. It looks like it's trending in the right direction, but we'll find out more. And then the linebackers, it seems like they're at least the middle. I'm not talking about the outside guys. I'm talking about the middle, Barton and Cedric Gray. From what I've seen, it seems like they have some solid guys in the middle that can benefit from having those big guys, Sweat, Jones, Simmons, and those guys up front to take hold of some of those blockers. Whereas you can have Barton and Cedric Gray. Because that happens, now I'm quicker and it's easier for me to get to those either ball carriers or the quarterback in blitz.
I think the most intriguing one to me is number six, what D-Mace was just discussing, and that is fill out the middle of the defense. Because often when you hear general managers talk, it's all about the premier players, the edge rushers, the corners who can shut you down, those game changers. And they know they're low in that area. But the middle of the defense, right, I think the swap out of what was the guy's name that they had last year? They've got Barton this year, and he replaced Kenneth Murray.
Kenneth Murray.
I think they were disappointed in Murray last year. Spent some money on him and just bailed after 1 year. I think they're hoping that Barton has the right makeup and could help them tie things together. Because that's probably it's where you can maybe get a little bit better on the margins. And then the other little part of that, use your safeties interchangeably rather than relying on separate free safety, strong safety archetypes. If you notice, they have a lot of safeties on the roster. They look like on paper, like, okay, they got safeties. And then they brought back Quandre Diggs. Mm-hmm. Denard Wilson said earlier this week, Quandre Diggs is going to play. But I think what they have in mind is, depending on the situation, they put the safeties in there that they need. Mm-hmm. Maybe guys that cover a little bit better. Maybe a guy that can blitz a little better. Maybe a veteran. They've got some different elements and ingredients, and they seem to value that with the way they want to play defense. So I'm curious how that plays out.
So that was Dave Ziegler's list on ideal roster building. Here was Chad Brinker's list on what growth will look like in his mind and how fans can evaluate it according to his standard. Here's his philosophy. One, it starts with quote-unquote continuity and stability at the top. That's a novel concept for the Tennessee Titans. Making sure the decision-makers are together long enough to cultivate an identity is key. Let's see if the Titans can heed their own advice.
That's important, but it's ironic that he's the guy saying that because he's the guy that's supposed to be putting that together.
Two, you must have a winner, quote-unquote, at quarterback. Not necessarily a Hall of Famer, but a passer who knows how to will his team to victory. Three, players who can, quote-unquote, influence games at key positions. Brinker said he believes the Titans have several players on the roster who have the potential to be stars, but they haven't reached that ceiling yet. Four, get younger and rely on that youth. Let the players you drafted play early, even if that means battling through some struggles. Five, be the type of team opponents don't want to see on the schedule. Disciplined, smart, physical, tough, fast. Keep games close, win or lose. Play the kind of football fans will be proud of.
Again, these are things that, you know, continuity at the top. Well, y'all hadn't shown much continuity in the last couple of years, so I believe it when I see it, okay? Winner at the quarterback position. Cam has won a lot of games in college. He's proven that he can win games for you. But proving it in college and proving it in the NFL is two different things. He's going to have to prove that he can do that at the quarterback position. So, question mark. I tend to believe he will, but I'm going to put that as a question mark. Question mark. Influence guys in key positions that can influence games. Okay, you got Jeffrey Simmons that can influence games. Tavondre Sweat that can influence games. Calvin Ridley can influence game. He hasn't been as consistent, you know, last year, but hopefully this year is a different year with another year in that system. So basically you got three guys, throwing Pollard. I throw in Pollard that can influence the game. You need more than that. You need some young guys that can influence the game, and that's what he talked about. Getting those young guys in to play right away, even if they may struggle a little bit. You fight through the struggle, and you persevere through it, and in their mind, if that happens, you become a better player. That's why you see the Isle Manners, you know, one of the reasons he started. He didn't show that he was just head and shoulders above Van Jefferson as far as playing. He didn't. But what Borgonzi is saying or Brinker is saying is true. We're going to give these young guys opportunities to play and play key minutes or play key roles in each one of these games that we're going to play. That's the only way we're going to get better as a team is if we sit these guys on a bench and don't let them play, we ain't going to never know what we have. I might as well do it now So we know what we have and what we don't have, and then we can move from there. So these things now, as far as the tough discipline, that'll come. You know, we'll know that again once they start playing. They wasn't a disciplined team last year, okay? At times, it didn't seem like there was a tough team last year. I'm not saying they are not, just at times they didn't. Okay, so those are a lot of those questions that are going to be answered once they start playing. And a lot of them, you know, at least half of them are going to be, you know, answered or close to being answered in this first game against Denver.
What caught my attention was get younger and rely on that youth. Let the players you drafted play early, even if that means battling through some struggles. That, and look, are we asking the right questions? One of our questions late last week was, who is going to have more combined receiving yards? The youngsters, DK, Io Manor, Gunnar Helm. We threw in Bryce Oliver as kind of a wild card. He's not a rookie, but three rookies plus a young player in Oliver versus the veteran placeholders, Lockett, Jefferson, and Chigakonkwo. If what he's saying is true, now he doesn't make the coaching decisions, but the younger players will get a shot. Cedric Gray, Williams at linebacker, those more examples of guys who are going to get a chance to play. And when you're rebuilding, which they are, I do think that that is what you should be doing. You want to surround, sprinkle in veterans that help you learn how to win and help guide the rookies, but a lot of young players should be playing. And that is going to be a very important element here because they desperately need to find guys who are really not on the radar league-wide right now, who end up at the end of the year saying, okay, we got a few more pieces here than we thought we had because we let these guys get out there and play, and some of them took the opportunity and became pretty good players.
That's ultimately what you want to see. I can, you know, go back 97 or even when my first year in Baltimore where, you know, some of these young, Mark Clayton, first-round draft pick, he played as a rookie, and he played a lot. He started as a rookie. Why? Because they wanted to see what they had. Even if he struggled, they still wanted to see what they had in this player. You can go back to my rookie year with the Titans. Some of those young players in the first year or two, they played. Why? Because they wanted to see what they had in-house before they had to go outside of the house to get another player. They want to know what they have right now with their young quarterback. So you know what? We're going to play them. And if they struggle some, then so be it. We got to fight through it. That's where, coach, you come and play. You got to find a way to get them through or out of the funk that they're in because they're going to go through one. It's a part of being a rookie. But how fast can we get up out that? If they're players, they're going to come out of it. If they're not, we're going to know at the end of the season. So then we know what to go get in next year's draft and free agency.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Dave Ziegler's and Chad Brinker's checklists on what growth for the organization looks like, what the ideal roster building plan is. Let us know. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get back to our main question of the day. What would we consider a successful NFL debut for Cam Ward? We'll get to your reaction as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, or as one listener in the YouTube chat has called me, AI Adam. Because I like to reference other people's work.
You like to give people credit.
When discussing topics about the Tennessee Titans and other things.
Absolutely. You got to set it up. It's about setting it up.
You set the table for a good, spirited discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we do. This
chatter wants me to have an opinion. So here's an opinion.
But they're still listening.
Here, I mentioned that. Here's an opinion. Go sit on the screw. There's an opinion for you. How about that? Let's get back to our conversation about the Tennessee Titans and Cam Ward at 615-737-1025. What would you consider a successful debut for Cam Ward? One texter says, give me at least 10 of 15, around 180 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Not doing too much and not forcing anything should help him keep his confidence. One texter went specific. Cam Ward first game, 18 of 30, 225 yards, one touchdown passing, one touchdown rushing, one interception, 30 rushing yards, three sacks taken. Let's see, where else can we go here? I know we have more. But let's just start there as I look for more and I get more. Again, the statistics tell you that it's going to be a rough go for Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Since 2000, quarterbacks drafted number one overall who started week one the year they were drafted are 2-8-1. That one tie, by the way, Kyler Murray. The two winners, Caleb Williams last year against the Titans and David Carr more than 20 years ago. And as I said earlier,
David Carr, weren't a whole lot of other wins after that.
So Bryce Young lost, Trevor Lawrence lost, Joe Burrow, Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford. They all lost as week one starters as rookies after being the number one overall pick in the draft. And remember, we mentioned this earlier with Caleb Williams. The Bears won the game. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams became the first number one overall pick quarterback to win his debut since David Carr. So more than 20 years. But remember, Caleb Williams was 14 of 29 for 93 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, fumbled once, was sacked twice, was off target on 31% of his throws, and averaged 3.2 yards per pass attempt. So yes, the Bears won the game. And there, I'm sure, were Bears fans who said, hey, it was a successful debut. Caleb Williams is the quarterback of record. He won the game. But I remember watching that game and leaving thinking to myself, Caleb Williams, he didn't look very good.
Right. And hopefully, for his sake, you know, he will learn from what he went through last year. And, of course, he, on top of that, is dealing with a lot of the pitfalls, the minefields that a lot of rookie quarterbacks face is they throw a lot of different things at him. They change the coordinator. They change the coach. And so we documented all that yesterday in our discussion about the history of the league ruining high-end prospects. But I think, to me, Cam Ward, you cannot – we can't put too much stock in this. We're going to overreact to this game, whether he goes out and lights it up or looks completely out of place and is taken to the woodshed, right? But we documented Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, and John Elway, three Hall of Famers, three of the best that have ever played. They all stunk the joint out in their first game as the first overall pick. So whatever happens, it's going to be how Cam Ward grows and learns and is supported from the result. That's how I look at it. And so I'm going to bake into the recipe. There are going to be some tough moments. I'm expecting it. I'm not going to be pounding away with my thumbs. There it is. There's the first interception-worthy throw, and there's another one. He might have a bunch. But it's really not about that. It's about how does he handle that? How does the team handle that as they go through the fire?
Craig says, I would just love to leave the game Sunday thinking, okay, Cam looks like he can do this from an eye test perspective. And I think that's where I'm at as well. And you know me, I love numbers, and I feel like I have some benchmarks I want to see. For example, those 11 quarterbacks I just listed, their total completion percentage was 53.8%. I would love to see Cam Ward complete at least 55% of his passes. I think 60% may be raising the bar a little too high. I'm going to set it at 55%, which would be more than we've seen over the past 25 years from quarterbacks in the same position. I looked at turnover-worthy plays for the past two number one overall pick quarterbacks in their debuts, Caleb Williams and Bryce Young. If I recall correctly, they each had two. I'd be willing to give Cam Ward two turnover-worthy plays. I mean, I would hope that they're not both interceptions and return for touchdowns, but he is not going to be perfect in this game. He is going to make mistakes as a young quarterback. And as long as they're not egregious, Will Levis-esque, for this first game, I would be willing to live with it. Now, as the season progresses, my tolerance will wane. But for the first game, considering the situation, considering the opponent, considering the caliber of defense he's going to play, considering the history of number one overall quarterbacks in this spot, I'm willing to be a little bit more lenient on Sunday than I may be over the course of the season.
Well, I mean, I can come out and say, if he don't complete 65% of his passes and he don't throw three touchdowns, he trash! He trash! We don't want him no more! I can do that type of show. I can do it. That's easy to do. It's an easy show to do. But we're talking nuance here. We're talking actually being in the game. And what do we actually expect? Knowing the NFL like I do and understanding it the way I do, what is realistic? 65% isn't realistic. It'd be great if he came out there and did it against the number one defense in the National Football League in their home stadium. That would be great to do. And if he didn't do it, I could sit here and say, he trashed, they need the next quarterback. But I'm not going to do that. That's not what we do here, okay? It's all about nuance. It's all about looking at the game and knowing the history of this game and seeing, okay, what does it look like? Do I want him to go out there and have a horrible game? No, I don't. But I know in this league that even the ones that turn out to be the great ones, that first game, that first year is like, the article said it, like, how many professions do you know that takes a 21-year-old and just plop them and say, run my company? Now, run it. You are the head of this whole company. Now, run it. I'm going to answer that question for you. Outside of sports, I don't think there are many, unless you are doing it, it's your company. But outside of that, none of these CEOs are going to hire a 21-year-old and say, be the face of my company and run it.
We saw the movie Tommy Boy.
Exactly.
We saw it with Chris Farley. He struggled. Exactly.
He struggled big time.
A lot of kids go to college for 7 years.
Exactly. There we go. So I can get on and I can give that. And some people will enjoy it. Some people will understand that that's just a bunch of hot air. Okay. Listen, if Cam, and I've said this before, if Cam comes in and he looks like a starting NFL quarterback, he's going to look like a rookie at points in the game, I'm sure. But how does he react after he have one of those rookie moments when he throws an errant interception or he takes a sack, you know, trying to make a play and he ends up taking a 15-yard loss? How does he come back as a player? Does he shake it off and he's locked in on what he's doing? Or does it look like Caleb Williams last year, where he just kept running around and just throwing the ball everywhere because he never settled in? If I see that, then okay, we may need to sit and really, evaluate, this moving forward. But if I don't see that, if I see a guy that makes a few mistakes, yeah, he may throw an interception, he may fumble the ball. But if he stays poised and he continues to show that leadership and he continues to develop within the game, because you can do that. You can develop within the game because,
Vance Joseph.
He's going to throw a defense at him at least three times, okay? He's going to throw the same look at him at least three times in this game. He may get fooled the first time. But if he's developing, he won't get fooled the second time, and he damn sure won't get fooled the third time. That's what I want to see. How does he run this offense? And I've already said it. How does he and Brian Callahan, how does that relationship, that communication looks? I want to see if Brian is seeing one thing and Cam is seeing another, we ain't on the same page. I'm calling a play because I believe as a coordinator, you see it the same way I see it. Now make a play. If I see that, and I've seen some of it in preseason, if I consistently see that, then okay. But I'm not going to make some lofty, prediction just to have, some type of, just grandiose opinion or whatnot. I just want to see the small things. And sometimes the small things don't need to be screamed the loudest.
I think my biggest standard, my highest standard for the offense is definitely not for Cam Ward. It's for the offensive line. To me,
That is an enormous thing.
That's where I will be disappointed if they look discombobulated or they don't look improved there. And I realize you can't put everything, just because something happens in week one doesn't mean it will happen throughout the year. But I would love to see an offensive line that sets the tone and shows everybody we're improved, and the return on investment, two first-round picks, a lot of free agent money, and an offensive line guru is starting to take shape, because that will help Cam Ward. That in and of itself is going to help Cam Ward survive the rookie year on a team that doesn't have a whole lot going for it right now. They were the worst team in the league last year, so they've got a long way to go. But the offensive line needs to provide some shelter. I will be disappointed. I have a higher standard for them more so than Cam Ward.
Craig, or excuse me, Billy. Billy in Columbia says, I disagree. If they get the win and Cam does not look atrocious, it's going to be a victory for him. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if he puts on a show. The bottom line is, did you win the game?
This year, I disagree.
Let's not say the big picture. I would say the immediate, yes, winning a football game. Because that's one way that if you don't follow the team, you can just look and say, oh, they're 6-2. Oh, they're a good team. Or they're, 1-6 and they're a bad team. So I understand what the texter is saying. Ultimately, winning the game is what's important. But I think what Willie is going to – what he's going to say once he takes over here is, yes, the victory is important, but I want to see the development. I want to see, how does Cam look? This team is – they may win, they may not. They may win 10 games in the season, but more than likely, what? They will not win 10 games. But how does – because all of this is sort of pointed toward Cam. How does he develop as the season goes, And it starts first with the Denver Broncos. How does he look during the game? And how would you evaluate him after the game? Did he look like a rookie at times? Yes. But did you see some development in it as well? It's not – I understand – the right now is win the game. But I want to know that he's going to be okay 10 games from now. And if they win the game and he looks bad, that's not good. Ask the Chicago Bears. They will tell you, yeah, just because we won that game, Caleb Williams wasn't good and he wasn't good for the rest of the year. It wasn't just that game. Yeah. So if they lose, but if Cam looks as if he's developing, then that's good. For me.
615-737-1025. All right. We are less than 2 hours away from the kickoff of the NFL season. So we will make our NFL season predictions. We will do that next to wrap up the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan coming up in about an hour and a half. Week one of the NFL season starts. Cowboys at Eagles, a game you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 7:20. So with the NFL season an hour and a half away, give or take, it's time for us to make our NFL season predictions. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to predict each AFC and NFC division winner and wild card and our Super Bowl matchup and Super Bowl champion. So David Janes, some music, please, to put us in the mood for the NFL season, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start in the NFC. We'll just go division by division. Let's start with the NFC East. Willie, your predicted division winner for the NFC East.
I would like to say that I did pick the Eagles last year. Notice I'm bringing that out first, and not the fact that I had the Giants as a wild card team. Whoops.
Yeah, that didn't look too good. That didn't age well.
Not at all. Uh-huh. But I will go with the Eagles again. I think they will probably have a little bit of a hangover, but by the end of the year, I believe that they will be there again holding the NFC East trophy. If
Derek?
There is one. Do you give a trophy for winning the division? You could get a banner.
You get a T-shirt.
Do you get a banner?
Or a hat.
T-shirt.
You get a banner.
A hat. Yeah.
Man, whew.
If you're the Indianapolis Colts, you get a banner for being the losing team in the AFC Championship game.
There you go. You know what? I'm going, and this is going to be so against what I'm going with the Cowboys.
What?
Oh, I'm going with the Cowboys.
Wow.
I'm not saying they're going to advance in the playoffs because that's what typically happens to the Cowboys. I believe Dak Prescott stays fully healthy this year. And when you have a healthy Dak Prescott, you have a really good Dallas team during the regular season. I'm not saying what he's going to do in the playoffs. I'm saying if he stays healthy, which I believe he will, with the addition of Pickens, I know they lost Parsons, and that's going to be – you can't replace that. I just think Dallas, there are so many people on Dallas. Dak's going to stay healthy, and Dallas is going to win that division.
You're nuts. I also take the Eagles to win the NFC East. Let's go to the NFC West. Willie Donick, your NFC West selection.
NFC West. I don't like Stafford's back. I think
Neither
that's a time bomb. I'm not a big believer in Sam Darnold. I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl last year. Whoops. And it all went bad. And I don't have the guts to pick the Cardinals. So I will take the 49ers as a bounce back. This is a last hurrah for them. And there's a lot riding on this season for them because this might be it for their window. I'm taking them.
I also take the 49ers, the league's most injured team last season. Also, we need the worst to first in the division every year, right? Basically every year, the Niners qualify. I, too, will take the San Francisco 49ers. Derek Mays.
I am going to – I think the best team in this division or this conference is the Rams. I'm picking the Rams. I think if Matthew Stafford can't finish the season, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo, with the players they have on offense, I think Jimmy Garoppolo can – say if Matthew Stafford goes down week 7 or 8, I think Jimmy Garoppolo can carry them the rest of the way. I think they have a really good defense. Obviously, they got playmakers with the addition of Adams on offense. The running game is pretty good. I think the Rams win this division.
Let's move to the NFC North, the most competitive division, I would say. Mm. Perhaps it's recency bias. I am going to take the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC North. I think Micah Parsons is a put-you-over-the-top type of move. I will take the Packers. Willie and Derek, who wins the NFC North?
NFC North, I'm going with my hometown Lions. You thought I was going different?
Come so you, you think the loss of the coordinators, et cetera, they'll be okay?
I think they'll be okay. They got enough playmakers. They'll be okay.
Willie?
I will take Green Bay. Okay. I just think they've set the table. They add Parsons, and you know, there's a lot riding on Love. It'll be a lot. This is going to be a great division, but I will give the nod to the Pack.
All right, to the NFC South, I am taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints stink. Take it from me. And I think the Panthers and Falcons are still at least 1 year away. I think they'll both be better this season, but I think the Buccaneers are the best team in the division. I will take the Bucs to win the NFC South.
Ooh.
I'm taking a flyer on the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh, okay.
Somebody's got to win it. It's a terrible division.
It is.
And I think it's somebody's got to unseat the Bucs. The Bucs have been sort of the best of a mediocre group. I just
don't think the Falcons' time has come just yet.
Yeah. I think they've got the weapons on offense to have something pretty special. If Penix can take a step forward, I'll take them.
Man, what are y'all thinking? None of these quarterbacks outside of Tampa has a proven – none of these teams have a proven quarterback outside of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's also part of my point as well. No.
Tampa wins this division, hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
Quickly.
Willie, you want to change yours?
Nope.
Willie's going with the Falcons.
This could be bad. This could be really bad.
Quickly, let's run through wild cards 1 through 3. I have the Detroit Lions at wild card 1. I do think they take a step back, but they are still a good team. I have the Minnesota Vikings as wild card number 2. And I have the Washington Commanders as wild card number 3. I will admit, I strongly considered leaving Washington out of the field for the Arizona Cardinals. I've been reading a lot of good things about the Arizona Cardinals, but to me it came down to the quarterback. I'm more confident in Jaden Daniels than Kyler Murray. So my wild card teams, 1 through 3, Detroit, Minnesota, Washington. Willie?
Whew. All right, I'm going to take Detroit. There's no doubt they're going to make it. I've got Green Bay to win the division, so Detroit will get in there. Washington, I'm a believer. I think they'll find their way back in there, although I think they might struggle a little bit more than you might think. The third one is always the toughest. This is where I wanted to be provocative last year, and I took the Giants. I'm not taking the Giants this year. I'm not a believer in the Vikings. So who do I take? I'll take the Rams.
Okay.
L.A. Rams.
Derek, 1 through 3 in the wild card.
In this order, Eagles, Green Bay, Washington.
Okay. Let's move on to the AFC. Let's start with the East. Can we all agree the Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East?
I'm not agreeing with that.
Okay.
Ooh.
It's not a
Don't tell me you're about to take the New England Patriots to win the AFC East.
No, I'm taking the Patriots, even though that may happen, but I'm not taking the Patriots.
Are you taking
the Dolphins, man?
The Dolphins.
That's the Dolphins to win the NFC East.
That's
if Tua stays healthy, man, oh man. They're a good team when that offense is basically unstoppable when Tua is underneath center. They are. It's been proven. They score a lot of points when Tua is underneath center, unless they're playing in a really cold game.
Okay.
And that can't happen.
I just, the concussion history, I get really scared.
I get that.
I will take the Bills.
Okay. To the AFC West, Chiefs.
This is one I have given a lot of thought to of, is somebody going to unseat the Chiefs? Am I going to be the guy that says it before it happens? No.
Eric?
I'm just going to keep taking the Chiefs until somebody knocks them out. I will take the Chiefs.
Until you knock the champ off, I'm going with the Chargers,
man. Oh, I wrote down the Chiefs already.
I'm going with Jim Harbaugh in his second season with the Chargers.
You know what school he went to.
D-Mace.
I know,
he's
but
a Michigan
guy. I like his brother, though. So that kind of, you know, right, he kind of washes some of that stink off.
I kind of washes some of the stink off. I gave you pause for a second there. You're like, oh, wait a minute. He's right. He's a Michigan guy.
All right. Let's go to the AFC North. I have D-Mace's Ravens winning the AFC North.
I too have the Ravens. That's a really good team. They are due to win it.
And I have Baltimore.
So we all have the Ravens.
Yes. Now here's, David, I need you to cue this up for me. Here's where it gets a little spicy. We are going to the AFC South. I know that Houston's been winning the division as of late. Houston, the most proven team in the AFC South. But I have one word for all of you. That's right. I am taking the Jacksonville Jaguars
to win the hype.
The AFC South. Well, listen to this from Bill Barnwell. Oh, God forbid I read somebody else's work.
Oh.
Bill Barnwell, according to him, the Jaguars went 3-10 in one-score games, becoming the first team in NFL history to lose 10 games by 7 or fewer points in a single season. They were also the second team in NFL history to produce only one multiple turnover game all season, and the first to do that with the benefit of a 17-game campaign. Jacksonville will win more one-score games and create more turnovers in 2025. I'm going to buy the Liam Cohen hype. I'm taking the Jags.
I'm with him. I'm taking the Jags. They will be the AFC South champions. I think Trevor Lawrence is due to have a better year. They keep shifting around. Sooner or later, they're going to they should have already won the division the last couple years. But I think this will be the Jags' bounce back year.
Derek?
Well, y'all went with Jacksonville. Houston's predicted to win the division. Just like the NFC South, there's really no proven quarterbacks outside of C.J. Stroud. But I'm going with Indianapolis and Daniel Jones. I'm going with
We need to check.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm telling y'all.
All right. Just let that sink in for a moment. Let's move on to the wild cards 1-3 in the AFC.
Wow.
I have Cincinnati as wild card 1, Denver as wild card 2, and look, this team, they make the playoffs every year. They don't win playoff games anymore, but they make the playoffs every year. I will have the Steelers as wild card 3. So 1-3, Cincinnati, Denver, Pittsburgh.
I feel like I should let D-Mace go last because he's got these zingers that are shocking
you
people.
You sure you want me to go last? Okay. Mean you want me to go now?
Yeah, no, you go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. The first wild card for me is KC. Then Buffalo. Whoo, this is a tough one, man. You win Cincinnati. Cincinnati's their defense, they didn't do anything to fix their defense, and they had those same offensive players
last year.
They're going
to score a lot of points.
And they can't stop nobody, and a lot of teams are going to score a lot of points against them. So, with that being said, I am going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers.
As wild card
3.
So, go through your 1-3 again.
KC.
Uh-huh.
Buffalo.
Okay.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Okay.
Willie?
I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I think they're going to outgun enough teams. There's no way you should miss the playoffs. They should not have missed the playoffs last year. When you have Joe Burrow, just
can't
find
stop
a way.
Nobody.
No, it was awful.
They can't stop nobody.
Just find a way to play okay defense, and you're going to make the playoffs. I do believe in the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They will make the playoffs. And then the third one is the tough one. And you guys, I don't know why. I'm with you guys. I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh. I'm saying that Denver will miss the playoffs. I think they will regress.
Okay.
And I think they're going to squeeze one decent year out of Aaron Rodgers, and it'll be a Mike Tomlin-esque 10-7, barely get in there.
All right, we've got a minute left, so let's quickly go through our Super Bowl matchups. In the Super Bowl, I have the Baltimore Ravens representing the AFC. I have, again, perhaps recency bias, the Green Bay Packers representing the NFC. And I know Derek's going to like this. David's going to like this. I think this is the year Lamar Jackson breaks through. I have the Baltimore Ravens defeating the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl.
That's a good one. I like that. Out of the NFC, I got my hometown Lions. This is the year. If they don't get it this year, I'm not sure if they will ever be in a position like this. I know they've lost both of their coordinators, but they're a hell of a team. I think the Lions make it to the Super Bowl to win the NFC. And Baltimore takes it to the AFC. And I would love to see Derrick Henry get a Super Bowl along with Lamar, along with DeAndre Hopkins. Those guys, I hope they get a Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm picking the Baltimore Ravens over my hometown Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Let's go Ravens.
And Adam, who did you have winning the Super Bowl?
I have the Ravens over the Packers.
Wow. Gosh. I got the Ravens in the Super Bowl as well.
There we go.
And I've got them against the Eagles. And I do have Baltimore raising the Lombardi Trophy. All three of us taking the Ravens?
Yes.
What is going on?
I don't know if I like this.
What city are we in?
I don't know if we like this. I know David likes it. Derek probably likes it. But that'll do it for us today. Remember, Cowboys, Eagles, tonight, 7:20 p.m. You can hear that game right here.
Dallas will cover.
On 102.5 The Game. Enjoy the start of the NFL season. Always a momentous occasion for all of us here who love sports. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. We love you. Peace.